you? How are you? What's going on? Can you fathom the idea of me keep recording these episodes? Because I can't. No listeners, yet here I am recording. Keep recording. I should switch to a different podcast or change the name of the podcast, but I'm not doing that. So, but anyway, I want to welcome you. I hope you guys are doing okay, even though with all the insanity that's going on in the world. I mean, the world has always been insane. That's sort of the point. If it wasn't insane, it wouldn't be as majestic as it is. So it's the insanity that sort of adds the chaos, the chaos, the insanity, the confusion that adds to the beauty of life, right? Like, that's part of it. Like, it's not supposed to be picture perfect. It's not supposed to be all good. So many of us are trying to control life and make it all good and make it feel like we're in control and everything is perfect. But hey, life is messy, life is confusing, life is ups and downs, life is, you know, it is what it is. So I guess the part I'm more specifically referring to is what's going on in Palestine and the insanity that's going on over there, which I don't know why I haven't talked about this more often on my episodes, my super popular episodes that are up there with Joe Rogan's podcast. But I guess at the end of the day, here's a takeaway. There's evil being conducted, being exercised in the world, and we have lost our way when we don't see it. And it's like, it's really just that. It's like, what's sad is Israel would have gotten away with what they're doing over there if they didn't make it so obvious, if it wasn't for cell phones and videos and the internet, they would have gotten away with it. There's enough state-controlled, to get away with so many crimes. But with, you know, say what you want about social media, but here we go, you know, doing something good, showing the world what's happening over there. So I guess the only weird part is, how in the universe are people still sort of neutral on this, right? Or don't want to get involved, or God forbid, or in some weird ways pro-Israel, Zionists, right? More specifically, right? That's what they are. People who believe in the ideas of modern Zionism. And so, like, how is that possible, right? Like, how do you go through life? I mean, we've all been guilty of believing in something that we shouldn't have, you know, like something that was wrong. So let's take it down a notch and not be like that, describe every person that's pro-Israel as a sociopath. But there's definitely a lot of them. There's definitely a lot of sociopaths. I mean, like, come on. Like, they know what's going on. They know what's happening. And they choose to believe that the killing of Palestinians is okay. Like, one life is... Here's what it comes down to. There's so many things that come to mind, by the way, about this topic. So many. But, like, I'm trying to just focus on the most important thing, right? Most important thing is, first of all, like I said, evil is happening, and then people are ignorant to it, right? Just like when the Nazis were doing their thing, there were many people who were just sort of ignorant to it. They didn't want to hear about it. They knew it was happening, but they didn't want to think about it. They just had their, you know, belief set about why it's justified, and then just hang on to that and try to stay away from anybody or anything that could, you know, steer them towards the truth. So that's one. And then the other thing, I guess, what was the other thing I was going to say? God damn it. I guess I'm just trying to focus on the most important aspects here. I guess, yeah, the other thing is that in a nutshell, like, what we need to realize is that this conflict comes down to the fundamental philosophical question of, are all human lives equal, right? Is a Palestinian life worth the same as an Israeli? That's really what it comes down to. That's what it boils down to, because the Zionists 100% believe, very clearly have said it, and it's very clear that they don't believe that Palestinians are good people. They deserve to live because they're trying to kill all the Jews. So therefore, the Zionists are allowed to eliminate all Palestinians, including children, right? So that's what it comes down to. Whether Zionists admit, all Zionists admit this or not, it's just the reality. It just is. I'm sorry. So, and then there's, I don't know, then there are people that are pro-Israel in America and Germany. That I like to pick on Germany too here, because that's like, talk about like a fucking funny ass ironic situation with Germany supporting Zionism again. I mean, like, Germany fucked up once with, you know, with Nazism, like, really bad, and they're trying so hard not to do this again. But by trying so hard not to do it again, they're doing it again. They're trying too hard, like, they're like too rigid. Like, they need to be a little bit softer. Like, they need to be like, hey, it's okay for us to speak against Israel and Zionism. It doesn't make us Nazis again. It makes us, you know, it's doing the right thing the second time around. But so it's I think it's like insanely ironic that that's happening. So that's what I want to say about this situation, right? Actually, you know what, I'm gonna title probably this episode just, yeah, around this topic, because, well, first of all, who cares? Like, there's no one listening. God damn it, sometimes I forget. Like, it doesn't matter what I name this. Like, no one is listening. I'm doing this, and I'm doing this to, I don't know why I'm doing this, honestly. I think that I realize that me recording these episodes makes me a better person than me not recording it. How about that? Because I've noticed that if I go into my head, not do any TikToks, not do any acting, not do any podcasts, I sort of become a very, very, I don't know what the word is, gloom figure? Gloom, is that a good word? Gloom, is that right? Gloom? Hold on, let's see. Let's look it up. Let's look up this shit. Gloom. Define gloom. Dark or poorly lit. Ooh. Wow, especially so as to appear depressing or frightening. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, are you... No, seriously. Are you fucking kidding me? That, like, I could not have picked a better word. Like, literally. It's so weird how words come to our minds, right? Like, it's like the perfect word that you barely even heard once before comes to mind, and it's, like, spot on. That has happened to me so many times. Reminds me a little bit of when I was a kid, I had this ability. Not just me. I know a lot of people have this. But there's some people that have this ability to know the time without looking at the watch. Were you one of those kids? Like, it was the weirdest thing. Like, well, at the time it wasn't weird. At the time I thought it was normal. I didn't even think about it. So, meaning, like, I would be at a bus stop waiting for the bus in Germany. And somebody would say, hello, wisst du, wie spät es ist? I hope I got it right. I haven't spoken German in a long time. And I'll be like, ja, it is 6:36. I would say 6:36. And the guy would be like, I remember, I think one guy said, oh, you didn't even look at the watch or something like that. I think that happened. I don't know. My memory is like so fucked up when it comes to my past. But like, and I was like, oh, I just know. And then I looked at it, and then I showed him my watch, and it was exactly 6:36. And it's not because I had looked at the watch like a few minutes before that. It's just like I always knew what time it was. Like, yeah, I knew what time, like, I could wake up at an exact time. Well, a lot of people could do this part where you tell yourself, I want to wake up at 6:40, and you wake up at 6:40, right? Weird time to pick. But yeah, so kind of reminds me of that, of picking the right words, even though you don't even know, you've never even used it before. It just came to mind. It just came to mind. Yeah, I'm from Germany, So you must excuse my language. My language is not so good. Okay? I'm working on it. I'm trying to be better. No, that's a horrible German accent. Okay? So don't judge me. I'm not gonna be a freaking... I'm not gonna be doing accents with my acting. So... Oh, see? Look, I'm feeling better already. This podcast is working. Oh, by the way, the last episode I recorded was super dark. Like, it was... I was in a bad place. I had just turned around from going to the gym, and I was feeling horrible, and I recorded one. I forced myself to record one. It was just like... It was just dark. You know, with most of these episodes, I go from, I don't know, a tough place, dark place, to, like, a good place. With that one, I think ended up in a worse place. So here we go, trying this again. What do I want to say? You guys know about I'm going to Bahrain, right? Again. So I don't really want to go. Especially with the summer coming, and I keep missing the summers in California. So I'm gonna miss this time around, though. I'm gonna catch the end of the summer, because I'm gonna come back in right before my birthday. So I still don't want to go. I love here. Listen, to my students that I've taught in the past that are still friends with me on Instagram, I love you guys. And the best part of being in Bahrain, honestly, genuinely, this is comes from the heart, was you guys. So that part I love. I get to meet a new classroom full of students, and I love the young. It wasn't even the young part. Like, it was just that, I don't know what it was, the innocence maybe of the class, that was so refreshing. That was so cool. The excitement, enthusiasm. Because I had some older students, and they were like, what's that called? They were fun. And so I'm looking forward to that. All right. Looking forward to that. Meeting a new class. I hope I do a good job. Last time I think halfway into the course, they do surveys. I got a score of 74 for my students, which is bad. But I was told that that's normal for the first time. So I don't know. And then at the end, I got a 94. So the exit survey. So that's very good. So I was happy. That was a huge jump. But I'm so scared that I'm going to get bad scores. I really don't want to. It's just, I take everything to the heart. And it's like, it just feels like very personal, I guess. I feel like I'm already incredibly insecure. So I don't know. I just hope I do a good job. And I suck at teaching. That's the weird thing. I never thought I would. Like, because I'm okay with one-on-one. People have said good things about my one-on-one tutoring, but then when it comes to teaching a whole class, it's a whole nother thing. So yeah, anyway, I want to share with you guys some cool stuff, right? Some interesting things, some things that could help you in your life. Who am I to tell you what could help you in your life? Well, I'm you, right? Me and you are the same. It would be insane to think otherwise, really. What's different between us is just the genetics, our upbringings, our history, if you will, our triggers, our insecurities. Yes, all those are sort of different, right? And you're like, well that's everything. Debatable. What really matters is our human spirit. Human spirit is... I just farted. Did you guys hear that? Oh yeah, that's happening. I'm 40, software engineer, recording a podcast that no one listens to, sitting on the beach and just farting away. Yeah, that is a reality right there. That's something that's true. So judge me all you want, but I stopped being harsh on myself. That doesn't mean I'm gonna be all relaxed. I'm not gonna be all fucking loose goose. That sounds funny. I'm not gonna be a loose goose and fart whenever. I'm obviously gonna be controlled. I'm not gonna poop and pee and fart wherever. Even if you do, like, so what? Right? So fucking what? Like, there's nothing. Like, you can do nothing by itself is anything. Meaning, like, not one thing will define you one way or the other. Everything comes down to how you do it, why you did it. It's not just, there's just context to it. So not everything is absolute. So somebody who's wearing dirty clothing all the time with stains on it is not necessarily homeless, dirty. It could be other reasons, right? So everything is sort of needs context, right? By the way, how do you guys hear me? Do you guys hear me okay? Like, because the sounds of the waves are sort of loud, and I need to get a good mic. And I think I got a mic like at one point, but never really ended up using it. So, all right. Well, what else? Beautiful day, Hermosa Beach. I got a ticket here for having Checo, my dog, on the beach. $250. That asshole. Like, I'm upset. I call him an asshole because, first of all, it's a ticket for having a dog on the beach. Come on. Like, come on. Come on. Like, seriously. I don't know what you guys know about Checo, but he's, I don't know, 20 pounds. Extremely harmless. I know. That's not the argument. That doesn't work in the legal system, right? You can't say, oh, this dog is different, so it should be exempt from the rules. But it's the beach. Like, what combo, like, what things go really well with the beach? Having a dog on the beach is one of the best things that go with the beach. And I'm picking after him. And anyway, so he creeped up on me behind. He always catch him. Every time I see the cop kind of, like, get close to me from a distance, I sort of get away. This time, he got me. $250 ticket. He's like, I'm going to give you a break. Give you a break? Is that how you say it? Is that how the expression goes? I'm gonna give you a break. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I thought he was gonna give me a warning. I was like, oh, thank God. It's like, he's not a dick. He's like, a warning would be nice. Because honestly, a warning would have worked. I would have never brought Checo back if he had just given me a warning. No. He's like, he gives me a ticket. It's $250. And I was like, oh, I thought you were giving me a break. He's like, yeah, I did. It's like, I could have also given you a ticket for not having him on the leash. So that would have been another $250. So I was like, all right, thank you. So anyways... So that happened. Yeah. Would you guys mind rating my, like, this story? Is this something that should be in this podcast episode? From 0 to 10, how entertaining, useful was this sharing? You know, the reason why I share these things is because I've noticed something. I've noticed that Bill Burr, I love his podcast, and Pete Holmes, my favorite, they talk about just things that happen in their lives. They have a lot more to share than I do, though. I share the same shit. I feel like I'm sharing, like, I'm like, my life is like 1% of what they experience. Like, Bill Burr shares, like, shares. Like, why can't I talk? God, can I please learn to talk again? Bill Burr, he shares. There we go. Shares. Stories about him fucking flying all over LA. How fucking amazing is that? Are you fucking kidding me, Bill? Like, you're killing me with this, like, awesomeness, you know? Both of them have families, beautiful wives, loving wives, kids. What do I have? I'm 40. I'm sad. But I'm not giving up, guys. I'm not giving up, all right? I'm going to find myself a beautiful wife. I'm going to have biological kids. I have my Boonie. I have my Lonnie. And I love them. They're grown up. And I'm going to have some children that I can raise from the beginning. All right? My biological kids. It's going to happen. God damn it. And even if I have to date younger and people judge me, I don't give a shit. Okay? I don't give a shit. I'm going to date somebody. That doesn't mean... Here's the funny thing. Funny? I don't know. Funny thing. Here's the interesting thing. That doesn't mean I'm only looking for younger women to date. You know? Women who I can have children with. Oh, that guy knows how to surf. Oh, wow. Yeah, he caught a good wave. I'm not excluding, like, women my ages and older. That's the interesting thing. So if I, like, that's important to, like, for me personally, because it does feel a little bit wrong to just look for younger women to date. So I'm looking for women my age and older as well, because I believe in love. I believe in the right person, and who knows? Like, I'm not God. I'm not the universe. I don't have all knowledge encapsulated in reality. So I don't know what's right. So I don't know if maybe the person, the best person is somebody who is 40 or 50 or whatever, and not 30. So, and if I told myself that if I do end up marrying a woman that cannot have children, then that's okay, because guess what? Guess what? I would be trying my hardest to adopt. Like, and isn't that, and that experience of adoption, I don't know if I would one day, if I do end up adopting, that there will come a day where, like, I'll be like, I wish I had kids of my own, like biological. I don't know. Maybe. So anyhow, I want to share something like cool that happened to me. Like, I don't know, Bill Burr and Pete Holmes have a lot better stories to share. I mean, it's because I'm like, what do? I wake up, sit in front of the computer, go to the gym. I got nothing. Okay. I got nothing. Nothing. I got no stories to share. Okay. I went to Comedy Store. Is that a story I can share with you guys? To the world's most famous, notorious comedy store for the second time. The first time I went, I never watched like a show at the Comedy Store. Like the first time I went, I just went to the open mic, and I just wanted to see the open micers, and my name got picked, and I never went up on stage. Remember that? There's a whole thought, series of thoughts that came to mind about this, by the way, this morning, that I'm not going to share with you guys. But anyway, so this time I went to actually catch, actual comedians. So I saw Maz Jobrani, Neil Brennan, and I saw Michael Schultz? Schultz is his last name. It could be Michael, is it? Andrew Schultz. Yeah, the guy with the crew cut, with the mustache. That always scared me, like, because I've seen some videos of him on YouTube doing crowd work, and he goes hard after the crowd, and I was always scared of him. And sure enough, me and him, he did crowd work on me as well, sort of. The question was, are you any Muslims in the house? And there was a time when I didn't even want to be claimed to be Muslim, because I got such a big heartbreak with my religion. But I realized it's more important than ever to be a good Muslim in this world. So I reclaim. I have never maybe left being a Muslim. How I practice it, that's up to me though. It might not be, or I might not practice it at all. But I do claim to be a Muslim. I believe in Allah and the last day. So that makes me a Muslim. A Muslim. Allah and me are, I don't know. I'm not going to say something that's going to get me canceled, right? Because I got to be careful about what I say on this podcast, because it's, you know, lots of people out there that are ready to cancel, right? I'm kidding. No one is listening. Who the fuck cares? Allah and me are like homeboys. We're like bad boys for life. That's what we are. See, that's my interpretation of Islam. It's not this insane, oh, he's going to catch that wave. Oh, he's good. This guy knows how to surf. Oh, I can't do that. I wish I was good like that. I need to. Yeah. He made me think. What's it called? Yeah, so. Yeah, bad boys for life. My interpretation of Islam is that God is a lot more lighthearted. Allah is not this extremely terrifying deity, the most terrifying deity, also the most loving, right? It's like this thing with this. God is the most loving, merciful deity on the planet, more loving than 99 moms. And then it's like, God is also the worst in punishment you can possibly think of. And then it's like, God, are you so bipolar? That's what I'm thinking. Anyway, my interpretation is, there's nothing you can do or say that could like surprise him or hurt him or makes him, why are we using him, hate you. Like, there's nothing that's not even possible, because if that was possible, then it wouldn't be a law, right? So like, come on, right? So I can say whatever I want about him, honestly. And I'm not scared, because you got to get rid of fear. When it comes to life, when it comes to universe, you got to get rid of the fear. You got to believe that, you got to believe in the best of humanity. You got to believe in humor, lightheartedness. Anyway, maybe I can read you guys something from the book. I think that woman just smiled at me, but I could be wrong. So, I don't know. She's kind of cute. Owning Your Own Shadow, Robert A. Johnson, author of He and She. More than 100,000 copies sold. More than the Bible. Not surprised. I'm kidding. Owning, the last part was a joke, obviously. Owning Your Own Shadow, Understanding the Dark Side of the Psyche. I just got this book after stumbling upon videos on this topic. And I think that's exactly what I'm going through in my life right now. It was said that Dr. Jung's favorite story went something like this. The water of life, wishing to make it itself known on the face of the earth, bubbled up in an artesian well and flowed without effort or limit. People came to drink of the magic water and were nourished by it, since it was so clean and pure and invigorating. But humankind was not content to leave things in this Edenic state. Gradually they began to fence the well, charge admission, claim ownership of the property around, claim ownership of the property around it, make elaborate laws as to who could come to the well, put locks on the gates. Soon the well was the property of the powerful and the elite. The water was angry and offended. It stopped flowing and it began to bubble up in another place. The people who owned the property around the first well were so engrossed in their power system and ownership that they did not notice that the water had vanished. They continued selling the non-existing water, and few people noticed that the true power was gone. But some dissatisfied people searched with great courage and found the new artesian well. Soon that well was under the control of the property owners, and the same fate overtook it. The spring took itself to yet another place, and this has been going on throughout recorded history. All right, this is a very sad story, and Jung was particularly touched by it. Well, I'm going to stop here because my reading is horrible. So, that was literally the first paragraph of the book. So I just opened it up, and it's the first time me reading it, and I just shared it with you guys. Yeah, people are... That sounds 100% human, though, right? Like, we are very American, by the way, too, to control... You know, a resource that can, you know, that people want. That's what we do. I mean, in a way, we've been taught, and I believe it. I believe so many things that I'm starting to disbelieve, doubt, that are actually true. But for the longest time, most of my life, all my life, I believe that that the economic system, a free market system, is the best, most natural system. And I'm starting to doubt it. I don't know. This whole business-oriented thing, like, in a way it makes sense because it's natural. There's, you know, you need to, like, there's supply and demand. Feels natural, feels like life. And then you charge based on supply and demand. And then, you know, the most creative, best people sort of get to have the most. And everybody else will be sort of at the bottom in some way. But if you work hard, you can get to the top. And I don't know how to explain it, but my whole point is, like, that whole system, like, I always felt like, yeah, America is great because it has that, implemented that system of free market. But I'm thinking, like, what if we have a hybrid system, right? Like, I don't think the free market is completely wrong per se. I just think that we need to adjust it so it's more compassionate and it's not so harsh. And, well, more importantly, from all those things, actually, I think the thing is, it naturally ends up in corruption. That's what I'm learning. Like, it ends up where, yes, the system itself is natural, but then the
people that do own and control, they end up owning, controlling all of it, and it gets to like a very bad place. And like I guess it's just at some point we're not left with humanity, we're left with, you know, the darker side of humanity or the human being, which is greed and other things, right? Desire for power. So like that sort of takes over, and I think that can be adjusted, right? I think like whatever system we have needs to be led with the best of humanity, and it needs to be flexible, cannot be rigid, and it has to be led with the truth, transparency. So I think like a hybrid system might be, I think that everybody in this world should be given a safe place, safe, clean place to stay, food. It doesn't have to be the best food, but it has to be not horrible food, decent food, clean water, clean fresh water, warm water to take showers and clean themselves. Like basically, you get the point. Like basic human, just the very basic to live. What do you need to live? Well, you need to eat. You know, you need safety. You need security, because you can't live if somebody shoots you. You can't live if somebody, you know, harms you. So you do. That is basic human need, right? Safety. You need food. You need water. You need, you know. So like that should be given to. That should be human right for every person on this planet, right? That should be right for everybody. And then and then from there, you can build the free market. Okay, now go ahead and do your fucking greedy thing, and where you accumulate everything, where one person wants to accumulate everything, or the top 5 richest people on the planet have more wealth than the fucking, what, 40% of the fucking world, or some insane shit, like bizarre, weird shit. So like, well, yeah, well, that doesn't seem, forget right, that doesn't seem natural, right? It's more natural that we're a bunch of humans and we're all living on this planet, all breathing the same air, all sharing the same sun, and all of us are trying to take care of our families, all of us are trying to survive and live in safety. So yeah. Oh, another thing I realized, like, as I get older, like, it's not the bad guys that I should be worried about, not the Trump supporters, the obvious bad guys, idiots, haters, that I realize more and more how it's worse or scarier to deal with Democrats who are sociopaths, like Democrats who are preaching love, and all these good things, you know, freedom for everybody, but then they do shit like they're pro-Zionists, right? They're supporting like a fucking insane spree of killing over there, and like that. And then I realized, like, oh shit, those are the people that I should be like really afraid of. It's not the Trump ones are just what they are. The bad guys are just what they are. They're bad guys, but they are known to be bad. They're obviously bad, it's clear. But then there's the, you know, it's that whole idea of the watch out for the guy that comes, don't worry about the guy that comes at you, don't worry about the, I don't know how the fuck does that saying go, worry about the guy that comes at you with a smile but has bad intention, basically, right? Like that's what I realized, like, oh shit, I've been like lied to most of my life by people who preach love, create movies, create beautiful music, but then they believe, like, some of my favorite actors that are so loving and created such beautiful art, or were part of such beautiful art, believe in the most psychotic things ever. And that really throws me off. That really, like, really fucks with me. Like, come on, because I was like, these are angels almost. I looked at them like such a, like, and then, like, they believe in, like, well, we need to protect the state of Israel, and they have the right to defend themselves. And I think that what Hamas did on October 7th is just the most horrific thing that any human has ever done to any other human being. And so we need to make sure that we support Israel in their retaliation, in their defense, because that's the right thing to do, because people over there, they all want to kill the Jews, and if we don't support the state of Israel, then we're pretty much anti-Semites, so we can't allow that to happen, okay? So I'm just saying, like, we need to stop questioning Israel and what they're doing, okay? Sociopath. Seriously? You guys are insane. Alright. Wow. Alright, it's time to head back. This was a good beach session, people. This was really awesome. I'm glad I did this. I'm glad I recorded this episode. Wow, combining words here. Aren't you glad you listened to this episode? Huh? Alright. Anyways, I gotta figure out life. Here we go. I'm alive. I'm not gonna end on a dark note. What I'm gonna say is that I'm alive, you're alive, okay? And no matter how bad things seem, just keep that little bit of faith, hone it. A tiny bit, a grain of faith, the thing that keeps you from blowing your head off. Damn it, I said I wouldn't end on a dark note. Just keep that faith and work with it. Work with it and then be kind towards yourself, okay? Just relax, okay? Just because you're not doing anything, if you will, or you're not doing enough or whatever with your life, and if you want to beat yourself up, just relax, okay? You know, at least you're not a Zionist. So just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Do your best with whatever energy you have, whatever motivation you have, and just, I don't know, just listen to the universe. Believe that it's always there, even when it feels like the universe has abandoned you, Allah has in part abandoned you. Just don't fall for that, okay? No one has abandoned you. You're still loved, even if it doesn't feel like it. You're still on the right track, even if it doesn't feel like it. I know this is a message to myself, mainly, but that doesn't mean it's not a message for you as well, okay? All right then, bye. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.